from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, VOI listener. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz and RRI Digital Mobile App.
Listener, here's the news, read by Steve. First, the headlines. Innolac Business Forum 2024 has been officially opened. Peruvian Chamber of Commerce and Industry expresses interest in getting to know Indonesia. And here is the news in detail. The Indonesian Latin America and the Caribbean, or Innolac Business Forum 2024, was officially opened by Director General of European American Cooperation at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Republic of Indonesia, Umar Hadi, in Lima, Peru on Wednesday. The event is attended by 46 companies from Indonesia and 70 companies from Latin America and the Caribbean. In his remarks, Umar Hadi wished that the forum would not only produce business agreements between entrepreneurs, but also ensure that partnership among Indonesian, Latin American, and Caribbean entrepreneurs is sustainable. Therefore, Indonesia not only facilitates entrepreneurs to meet, but also offers its cultural potential.
We want this business between our business relationship between Indonesia and Latin American and Caribbean countries. We want them to go beyond just business transactions. We want them to grow into sustainable relations, to deepen and widen the existing cordial relations between Indonesia and your countries. That's why this trade mission is not solely about business, but also is about cultural exchange.
Moreover, Umar Hadi has also conveyed that in this series of Innolac, Indonesia will also organize the Innolac Society Forum, facilitating young people from Indonesia, Latin America, and the Caribbean to meet and discuss new ideas, especially in terms of digital economy. The Innolac 2024 Business Forum takes place in Lima, Peru from September 11th until 13th, 2024. In addition to the business meeting and also society forum, the Innolac presents CEO talks, an event brings together entrepreneurs to recognize the potential and opportunities for cooperation among Indonesian, Latin American, and Caribbean entrepreneurs. Besides, this time Innolac also holds a meeting of Indonesian, Latin American, and Caribbean Chambers of Commerce and Industry, which is expected to encourage the development of business cooperation among the three. Chairperson of Peruvian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Monica Chavez Camacho, conveyed that many companies in Peru have expressed interest in the Indonesian market and products. She said that it is because many Peruvian companies are participating in the Innolac 2024 in Lima. On the sidelines of the opening of Innolac on Wednesday, according to Monica, her site has prepared a number of business matching meetings between Peruvian companies and Indonesians. She also explained that the interest should be facilitated so that companies from both countries can meet and connect.
We have received information of Peruvian companies and we have seen that they are very interested in meeting with Indonesian companies. So I think that there is the interest is right there.
Yep.
So they only need to find the way to interact and to connect with the Indonesian companies. And I think that this event, it's a very big step to make the link, to be the bridge between our entrepreneurial sector.
Furthermore, Monica Chavez Camaco also said the Peruvian Chamber of Commerce and Industry has a good relationship with its Indonesian counterpart. She also encouraged a closer relationship of both to support companies in both countries. According to Monica, the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry has an important role to connect entrepreneurs in finding wider business opportunities and potential. Deputy Minister of Foreign Trade and Ministry of Trade and Tourism of Peru, Teresa Mera Gomez, has said that Indonesia and Peru complete each other in effort to build their respective economy and have the potential to increase bilateral trade of both countries, including developing investment flows into various sectors. She conveyed this in her opening remarks during the Indonesian Latin America and Caribbean or INALAC 2024 Business Forum in Lima, Peru on Wednesday. Therefore, Teresa Mera Gomez also explained that Peru and Indonesia have initiated negotiations for a comprehensive economic partnership agreement between the two countries. According to Teresa, this agreement will be the cornerstone of bilateral relations and will increase trade and remove tariff barriers, as well as create a framework of stability and predictability that significantly boosts business.
I would like to take this opportunity to reiterate the political will of the Peruvian government to make every effort to achieve a CEPA with Indonesia as soon as possible.
Moreover, on that occasion, Deputy Minister Teresa Mera Gomez also affirmed the important role of Indonesia's private sector in the CEPA negotiation process of both countries. She further encouraged Indonesian private sector representatives to build communication with the government about the importance of improving business relations with Peru, including the achievement of CEPA between the two countries. Teresa is optimistic that Indonesia and Peru collaboration will be able to face future challenges and form the foundation of a strong trade partnership that will benefit the people and companies in both countries. The Indonesian government through National Disaster Mitigation Agency hopes that earthquake and tsunami in the Indian Ocean that hit a number of countries 20 years ago will influence ASEAN member countries to be more disaster resilient. Head of the agency, Suharyanto, explained that by reflecting on the tragedy of earthquake and tsunami, cooperation and solidarity between countries is one of the important assets in a bit to create resilience and to face similar potential in the future. This was pointed out by Suharyanto while speaking at the Global Forum on Sustainable Resilience 2024 and Asia Disaster Mitigation and Civil Protection and Conference Exhibition at G-Expo Kemayoran in Jakarta on Wednesday. The forum was attended by delegates from 10 ASEAN countries and involved practitioners and business people in the field of disaster to global scientists. Suharyanto also stated that this international forum prepares various aspects of disaster resilience, such as provision of accurate and integrated earthquake and tsunami detection systems and innovative technology. He added that the history of past disasters has encouraged Indonesia to keep improving technological sophistication and combining it with the local wisdom of the community to mitigate disaster risks. Iranian President Masoud Pezeshkian has slammed the West, saying that Israel is committing massacres on the war in Gaza and using European and American weapons to do so. As reported by ArabNews.com, President Pezeshkian, who spoke in Baghdad at the start of his first visit abroad since taking office, hoped to cement Tehran's ties to Baghdad. According to President Pezeshkian, the Israeli entity is committing massacres against women, children, young men, and the elderly. They bomb hospitals and schools. He said that all these crimes are being committed by using European and American munitions and bombs. A Russian cargo ship suspected of carrying Iranian ballistic missiles from Moscow's war against Ukraine was seen at a Russian port on the Caspian Sea a week ago, satellite imagery shared with CNN shows. As reported by CNN.com, the vessel, the Port Olya 3, was identified by Maxar Technologies in satellite imagery taken on September 4th at Port Olya in Astrakhan. The ship had previously been in the Iranian port of Amirabad on August 29th, according to ship tracking data. It turned off its transponder at some point after. The U.S. Treasury Department assessed Tuesday that the Ministry of Defense in Russia had used the vessel Port Olya 3 to transport CRBMs from Iran to Russia. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian Navy SEAL training ship KRI Bima Suci docked at Pier No. 10 at Wusong Naval Base in Shanghai, China to begin its training mission and to serve as Indonesian Cultural and Tourism Ambassador in China. The commander of KRI Bima Suci, Marine Lieutenant Colonel P. Hastaria Dwi Prakoso, during the cocktail party held on KRI Bima Suci's deck on Saturday, as quoted by Antara, stated that KRI Bima Suci was present as a Cultural and Tourism Ambassador for Indonesia. The mission also conducts naval and state diplomacy, especially with China's People's Liberation Army, PLA. KRI Bima Suci was in Shanghai from September 6 to 10 as part of its Goodwill and Kartika Jala Krida training mission. The Kartika Jala Krida is an annual practice carried out by Navy cadets to train in astronomy and great circle navigation. KRI Bima Suci carried 193 personnel, consisting of 78 cadets, 17 Indonesian Navy staff, and 98 crew members, including 10 women. During the cocktail party, the third year's cadets from the Indonesian Naval Academy showcased various performances, such as the Gandrung dance from Banyuwangi, a collaboration of traditional dances like Rampak Gendang, Saman, Ramasinta, and War Dance. Indonesian specialties including meatball soup with cow skin or kikil, fried rice, and various beverages were also served to the guests. Before the event concluded, the guests were invited to dance together to Gemu Famire, or the well-known Maumere and Poco Poco dance, allowing direct interaction between the Indonesian Navy cadets and the PLA Navy. KRI Bima Suci's goodwill and KJK's operation will last 90 days, covering a distance of 10,715 nautical miles, including 57 sailing days and 33 docking days. In the span of 90 days, KRI Bima Suci will sail for 16 days in Indonesian waters and 74 days abroad. KRI Bima Suci is scheduled to complete its mission and return to its base in Surabaya, East Java on October 30, 2024.
Boy. gelombang semesta. Kita Indonesia sesungguhnya langit aspirasi bangsa. Kita Indonesia sesungguhnya kita hadir bagi dunia. Kita Indonesia. Indonesia sesungguhnya langit aspirasi bangsa. Kita Indonesia,
Indonesia
sesungguhnya,
sesungguhnya
kita hadir pada dunia. Kita Indonesia sesungguhnya langit aspirasi bangsa. Kita Indonesia sesungguhnya sesungguhnya.
Hi, I'm Claire Gorman, head of ABC International at the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. On behalf of ABC International, we wish Lembaga Penyiaran Public Radio Republik Indonesia a happy 79th anniversary. We congratulate the organisation on its many years of work in serving their audiences with informative, educational and entertaining content and services. Recently, we had the pleasure of cementing our partnership with RRI with the signing of a Memorandum of Understanding, and we look forward to strengthening our relationship over the coming years. Once again, congratulations, LPP RRI, on this tremendous milestone. Sekali di dura tetap di idura.
Listener, we begin today in history with the event on 12 September 1940 when prehistoric paintings were discovered in Lascaux's cave. The cave is located in Montignac, France, and the paintings were accidentally found by four teenagers. Inside the cave, there are 600 animal paintings, various symbols, and 1,500 engravings. These artworks are estimated to be 15,000 to 17,000 years old, which is considered to be in the Paleolithic era. Henri Edouard Prosper Birol was the first French archaeologist to study these valuable paintings. The cave was once a tourist destination, but it was closed in 1963 to preserve the paintings. And visitors today can enjoy the replica located near the original site. We turn to the next event, an earthquake in Bengkulu. A 7.9 magnitude earthquake struck roughly 105 kilometers offshore in Bengkulu on September 12, 2007. The earthquake set off tsunami alert on Indian Oceans and followed by several strong aftershocks. A 1 meter tidal wave hit at least 300 homes and buildings in Pagai Island and Mentawai Island. Around 21 were confirmed dead and hundreds were injured. The United Nations South-South Cooperation is the final event for today in history. The UNOSSC, or the United Nations South-South Cooperation, was initially celebrated on December 19th. However, it was moved to September 12th in 2011. The UNOSSC aims to contribute to national prosperity among developing nations through politics, economy, socio-cultural, environmental, and technical fields. The goal of UNOSSC reminds us to recognize the importance of South-South cooperation, supporting low-income countries in achieving their development goals. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Ragu, ma.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia today focuses on equality can mitigate climate change impact. The Indonesian Ministry of Women Empowerment and Child Protection saw gender equality as important in mitigating climate change impact. As quoted by Antara, the Ministry's Assistant Deputy for Gender Mainstreaming in Social and Cultural Aspects, Eko Novi Arianti, on Tuesday conveyed that climate change is not gender neutral. According to Eko, the impact of climate change and disaster is experienced differently between women and men. Climate change worsens the existing disparity. This is important because, according to Eko, women are more prone to climate change impact because they are still expected to play traditional roles such as caring for children and managing natural resources. She added that women often have limited access to proper resources, knowledge, and formal education so that it is harder for them to adapt to climate change impact. Women are also facing more difficulties to avoid flood, storm, and drought. Besides, according to Eko, women living in underprivileged areas will be more prone to lack of access to a strong infrastructure, proper healthcare, and resources to face climate change. According to Eko, policies and actions related to climate change must consider the need and vulnerability of women causing inequality in accessing resources and services needed for adapting to climate change. Therefore, the strategy of gender mainstreaming in national development affirms some effort, namely, there is no discrimination between women and men, similar access to various development areas, active participation and control over development, and equality in various development areas. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next, we present information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom on Indonesian Wonder.
Not far from the city of Denpasar, Bali, there is Kuku Tourist Village, which offers a landscape of vast rice fields. This tourist village combines natural beauty, cultural heritage, and authentic Balinese traditional life. This village is about 20 kilometers from Denpasar, the capital city of Bali province, and can be reached in about an hour by land. Access to this village is quite good with paved roads, making it easy for anyone to visit. Green and fertile terraced rice fields are surrounding Kuku Tourist Village. The terraced rice fields are parts of the famous Subak irrigation system. The view of this rice field is gorgeous and can be your backdrop for taking pictures. In the tourist village, you can try trekking and cycling path to cross rice fields, gardens, and rural areas. Trekking and cycling activities offer beautiful views and the opportunity to interact with locals. In addition to walking around and seeing the natural beauty of the Kuku Tourist Village, here you can also learn to make handicrafts such as bamboo, wood carvings, and batik, as well as learn to cook Balinese specialties and learn basic Balinese dance moves. Kuku Tourist Village provides educational programs on organic farming and traditional farming technique. You can learn to plant rice, vegetables, and other crops using traditional methods. There is also Alas Kedaton Temple. The temple is one of the centers of religious activities in the village. It often holds traditional ceremonies that tourists can witness to get information about Balinese spirituality and culture.
Ku selalu berharap kau akan datang padaku.
You are still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present to you Miscellany.
Dear listeners, welcome back to our program, Miscellany. Today, we are going to talk about Wakatobi Wave 2024. Listeners, Southeast Sulawesi has four beautiful islands, known as underwater paradises. The four islands are Wangi Wangi, Kaledupa, Tomia, and Binongkol. The name Wakatobi was created from the abbreviated names of these islands. Wakatobi is widely known as one of the best diving and snorkeling spots in the world. This has been proven by the diversity of coral reefs and marine animals that exist here. Wakatobi has been recorded to have more than 750 species of coral reefs and 942 species of fish. To maintain the existence of Wakatobi as one of the Indonesia's leading tourism destinations, the Wakatobi City Government is holding the Wakatobi Wonderful Festival and Expo, Wakatobi Wave 2024, on September 10th to 14th, 2024, at the Wakatobi Merdeka Square. The Wakatobi Wave Cultural Event is a summary of four tourism events, namely Barata Kaledupa, Tomia Festival, and Tukang Besi Festival of Binongkol Islands, and its peak at Wakatobi Wave. Since 2018, this festival has become a national event. Wakatobi Wave is the government's annual agenda in an effort to develop and promote Wakatobi tourism. Wakatobi Wave 2024 is held with various series of activities, such as coastal dance, MSMEs Expo, Cultural Carnival, Nature Conservation Action, Maritime Cultural Attractions, Underwater Photo Exhibitions, and Movement and Cultural Art Competitions of Coastal Dance. All activities at Wakatobi Wave are wrapped with the theme Water, Wonderland, Wakatobi. That was Miss Lenny. Bye-bye.
Lupa bahwa lupakannya tak mudah.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App and Shortwave Frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, Voice of Indonesia listener. Today, let's talk about a popular song by Kelompok Tiga Suara or Three Voice Group. Kelompok Tiga Suara or K3S is a band group consisting of three members, Bagus AA, Dian Pramana Putra, and Dedi Dukun. Their debut album, 17th Half Year, which came out in 1985, was well received by the public. A later in 1986, they released the second album, Oh Yeah, and a song with the same title became a hit in the market. This song Oh Yeah is about a person who loves someone but they are too shy to confess their feelings. Now let's enjoy listening to Kelompok Tiga Suara with Oh Yeah. Happy listen.
dengan mengudara di ke hati lalu bicara cinta berdua. Ingin ku mengejar seribu bayang, namun apa daya tangan tak sampai.
Memang benar apa kata pepatah,
kalau jodoh tak lari kemana. Duhai kekasihku,
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
Evaluasi
Hi listener, thank you so much for listening the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Send your feedback to our email voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram @voi_official. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.